It's Wisconsin Weekend on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Coming up, join us Tuesday at 1 for the annual State of the Tribes address, streaming online at WPR.org. Oneida Chairman Tehasi Hill presents the address before a joint session of the legislature live from the state capitol. That's the State of the Tribes address Tuesday at 1, streaming online at WPR.org. Now we're on a tour of skywalks in Milwaukee on Wisconsin Weekend. We're on a jaunt through Milwaukee's 9 skywalks, or their skyways. That's the word I grew up with in Minneapolis. Whatever you call them, they connect buildings across 8 city blocks in downtown Milwaukee. Do you work in downtown Milwaukee and use the skywalks to get from place to place in the winter? What do you love about taking them? What do you notice about the flow of people through them? I like to look at the people in skywalks. We're at 800-642-1234. Julia Griffith is the program director at Historic Milwaukee. The organization offers a 2-hour skywalkie tour. Julia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much.
Well, so to start this tour, how many miles of skywalks do we have in Milwaukee? What is the setup?
It's right about 1.5 miles. And obviously there's some building in between the skywalks. But in total, yeah, it's about 1.5 miles.
And so how does that compare to other Midwestern cities? I remember lots of skyways in Minneapolis.
Yeah, so it's a fair bit smaller than Minneapolis, but they also strategically planned their skywalk system as a system and to be larger than the one that happened in Milwaukee. It was far more piecemeal. They kind of came about in sections, working out from Grand Avenue Mall and then up towards the convention center.
Oh, so they were kind of add on to the buildings as an afterthought.
Yeah, more sort of strategic movement tools than something kind of in somebody's like larger scheme.
Has there ever been any impetus to make Milwaukee's skywalk system bigger?
Yes and no. So for a while in the 80s, when they were most popular, the system kind of grew. And then Mayor Norquist and some other politicians thought that they were taking away from street level commerce, which is one argument against them. And so they sort of fell out of favor. And now you see them more in smaller complexes. So they just added one between the Pfizer Forum and the parking ramp. And there's a few in the Northwestern Mutual Complex, but a sort of larger overhaul or a bigger system, not to my knowledge. There's never really been more recent discussion to make it larger.
Help us understand the motivation to build these for pedestrians. Is it specifically for the cold?
Yeah, or inclement weather in general. There were clearly amenities, particularly in the Grand Avenue Mall in its heyday, that particularly employers wanted to get their employees to. And I think in the sense of, will I go outside or shop if the weather is bad? No, but I'll take a small, you know, kind of floating skywalk. Yes. It was something kind of mutually beneficial to all. And so it sort of started with just a few points from the old federal building to the Grand Avenue Mall, then kind of on the Boston Store corner, mm-hmm. and then also from the Chase Bank building across the river. So, and then grew from there, but really was about essentially feeding people. It's easy to leave a lunch hour in the middle of winter if you can get somewhere and not really need a coat.
Have skywalks always been these really glass-like structures, lots of visibility out to the street?
Yeah, I think primarily because, particularly in Milwaukee, people were really concerned in some places about blocking views. The one that crosses Water Street, looking towards City Hall, they were worried that it would block that beautiful view up water. So that one in particular was built with a lot of glass. But I think in general, they are sort of capturing great vistas as it is that you maybe wouldn't necessarily see otherwise, particularly given their at least on the second floor of a building. So adding all that glass made them kind of attractive, certainly maybe doesn't make them the most energy efficient, but definitely makes them places to stop and get a great view of Milwaukee.
Yeah, and they're so airy, and you feel like you're just suspended a little bit in this right above traffic. Julia Griffith is our guide. She's program director at Historic Milwaukee, talking about Milwaukee's Skywalk system. Do you like the Skywalks? Why or why not? Do you think they're a great place to see the city, or perhaps you think they obstruct views? Let us know at 800-642-1234. Perhaps you've taken the Skywalkie tour. Call in, tell us about it. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Julia, your Skywalkie tour is very popular. Does it cover all the Skywalks in Milwaukee?
It can. So we have a set of kind of elongated script, and each guide is able to spend as much or as little time in a particular place as they might like. So each Skywalkie tour is a little bit different. It's all got great, well-researched information, but touches on some different points. So yeah, you can see them all. You just might have to take the tour a couple of times.
and you could be walking for a while. Some of these, your tours are 2 hours.
Yeah, so we cover a fair amount of ground, and we actually exceed the Skywalk's 1.5 miles. It's a little bit closer to almost 2, just because there's a little bit of extra walking and some backtracking, because you gotta, you know, go to the one end and then back. But so calculated, it's about 1.75 miles. So,
why do you think this tour is so popular? Why do people gravitate to it?
I think it's for a couple of reasons. We only offer it in the colder months. So I think, I mean, having lived in Wisconsin most of my life, winter cabin fever is a real thing. But my favorite part of the Skywalks, and one of the reasons I think architecture nerds really like them, is because you get right up close to architectural ornament and the exterior facade of a building in a way that at the ground level you may not. You can really kind of see some of the detail. I'm thinking the ASQ Center right off of Wisconsin Avenue has some beautiful glazed terracotta, which from the street is a little bit harder to see, but you can get right up close and kind of look at that craftsmanship and really appreciate it in a way you don't from the street.
And do we know some details about how that craftsmanship came to life?
Yeah, so that was actually Gimbel's department store. And in the tour, we talk about the architects, how buildings have changed over time, and things like architectural terracotta, which is actually pretty prominent in Milwaukee. You see a lot of it, but from the street, you may not know it's terracotta. So it's kind of fun to show people things they maybe see every day, but don't really know what they are.
Why does Milwaukee have more than usual, or was that just a trend among a cluster of architects there?
Just a trend. And I think what we do have is maybe not more than other places, but certainly collected kind of nicely into downtown buildings. It's a pretty common architectural material, but the glazed version on something like the ASQ Center, where it's so much of it, isn't necessarily very normal. It's also pretty temperamental, and the winter months can be pretty harsh on terracotta. So having so much on one facade is kind of a feat of defeating the elements, basically. So it's lovely to see how much has really survived in a place where freezing and thawing occurs, and that can be really harmful to terracotta.
What are your favorite questions that come up on these tours?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably I enjoy when people see things that they have never really taken time to look at. If you're on the Skywalk looking down Wisconsin Avenue towards Marquette, there's a building with a mural painted on the side. Richard Haas did it in 1981, and it looks like a building. It looks like an Art Deco building, but it's a mural. And we've had people who are like, why is that building so flat? And I'm like, that's a mural. And they have told me, I've driven past that building every day of my life, and I never realized it wasn't finished on that side. So sometimes it's not necessarily a question, but it's more just kind of exposing people to slow down a little bit and kind of showing them things that in their car they maybe wouldn't notice.
Right. They have a different perspective and,
exactly.
and they even at a different level, too. So there are some fascinating bits of history on this tour, like the attempted assassination of Teddy Roosevelt. Can you tell us that?
Yeah. So Teddy Roosevelt was on his way actually to give a speech in Milwaukee, right near the little parking lot next to the Hyatt, which has the giant rotating restaurant on top, which people probably remember. And he was shot. Luckily, his extensive speech was folded multiple times in his breast pocket. It stopped the bullet enough not to kill him. The bullet actually did penetrate his body, but he sort of soldiered on, gave the speech, and then received medical attention. But yeah, luckily he had it in his pocket. So they'll show you where that happened and kind of talk you through the dramatic event.
And what about Gertie the Duck and her ducklings?
Yeah, so Gertie the Duck, forever immortalized in bronze on the Wisconsin Avenue Bridge, was a real live duck. Who laid her eggs on a bridge piling. So basically a giant tree trunk sunken into the ground, which supported the bridge on Wisconsin Avenue in the waning days of World War II. And the city basically rallied around her. It's a really sort of tenuous place to have a nest full of eggs. But they decided that she was going to successfully hatch them. So she was tended. When the ducklings got too big to all be on the piling, they were moved to the Gimbel's department store window on the corner, where they were tended to by a registered nurse. And when they were finally old enough, they were all released into Juneau Park. So if you see mallard ducks in Juneau Park, they could be Gertie's ancestors.
We are taking a tour of Skywalks in downtown Milwaukee with Julia Griffith as our guide. She's from the organization Historic Milwaukee. You can join in 800-642-1234. Do you walk the Skywalks for exercise, perhaps as part of getting to work? Do you walk them to see Milwaukee in a new light? What do you think of this system? You can call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring Milwaukee Skywalk system on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Most of Milwaukee's Skywalks were built in the 80s, and in the 1990s, a committee was created to review the design of future Skywalks, and the city's newest Skywalk connects Pfizer Forum with a parking garage. Do you have a favorite Milwaukee Skywalk, or do you know of a Skywalk with a great view? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Julia Griffith is our tour guide this morning with the organization Historic Milwaukee. Julia, my favorite Skywalk in Milwaukee is the one that connects our Milwaukee Bureau in the Federal Building, which used to connect us to the Boston store. And going across to the and I can't think of the downtown mall there. But what's the deal with that Skywalk? Because I think it's closed now.
Temporarily, yeah. So you're talking about the bright blue one.
Yep.
Which matches the Federal Building. Yeah. So it's temporarily closed while they do some renovations on the Boston store side or old Boston store side. And actually in the 311 building as well. So only temporary. Rest assured, I've been told by many people that it'll be back.
So do you need to change your tour at all for these various things that come up, whether it's construction or something else?
Yeah, so we're really obviously excited about the Grand Avenue Mall and all of the changes that are happening, but it has meant a little bit of refiguring. So luckily, I work with a great group of volunteer guides who are flexible. So there's a little point. It used to be 100% inside, and now there's just you cross Wisconsin Avenue. But luckily, through our program, Doors Open, we have a lot of great contacts of building managers who are happy to let us knock on the door on the weekends and let us in.
Where can people go to get more information about the Skywalkie tours?
Yeah, so they can find information about the Skywalkie tours as well as all of our summer walking tours at historicmilwaukee.org. We also have a Facebook page. It's at Historic Milwaukee, and we're pretty easy to find.
So I understand these Skywalkie tours, they are seasonal and the season is ending soon?
Yeah, so we only have them through the end of April, but then we actually offer exterior walking tours. Historic Milwaukee was founded in the 70s. To give walking tours. We're the only nonprofit in Milwaukee that gives this kind of historic architectural walking tour. So we do downtown, the Riverwalk, North Point Mansions, Bayview, Brady Street. We kind of bounce all around during the summer months. So we have a tour at least one every day.
And are these tours all different lengths?
Yeah, they're all about the same amount of time, an hour and a half to 2 hours, but vary in walking lengths. But that being said, they cover residential and commercial architecture. We talk about houses of worship, kind of unique features on the landscape, and also how we got to the city that we have today, how neighborhoods came to be, how Milwaukee's downtown was created. So we go all the way back even before there were buildings on the landscape.
Do you think we learn more on foot as we understand the history of Milwaukee?
I think to a certain extent, yes. You really get to slow down and sort of look around in a way that's safe because you're not operating a motorized vehicle. But you also, I think, notice things, text. There's so much text on buildings that people don't notice, iconography, things like that. You're never going to see when you're just in your car or on the bus. So I think having the opportunity with a sort of seasoned guide who can easily point out the things you may not see, you actually can train yourself to notice them in other cities you visit, in your own neighborhood, basically wherever you go.
Well, with summer around the corner, what is your favorite walking tour of the upcoming season?
Oh, that's a great question. I think my favorite right now is the Riverwalk. I think I've lived in a few cities that didn't really appreciate their water as much as I've noticed Milwaukeeans are starting to. And it's a fascinating, the Riverwalk itself along the Milwaukee River is a fascinating infrastructure project. There's public-private partnerships. There's a lot of adaptive reuse. So many historic buildings have been given new life. And it's just a great evening tour that we have on Wednesdays. You really can't beat it.
Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it was fun.
Julia Griffith is the program director at Historic Milwaukee. We've been talking about their Skywalkie tour and the upcoming tours for summer. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's a piece from Madison comedian Esteban Tuma about what he calls the competitive sport of Wisconsin small talk.
Now that we've hopefully moved on from winter, Madison comedian Esteban Tuma is taking time to reflect on cold weather in Wisconsin. Born and raised in Ecuador, the state's severe winters have tested him. But an even greater challenge for Tuma has been acclimating to how much Wisconsinites like to talk about the weather.
As I step out of the deep freeze and unwrap 6 layers of winter gear in the lobby, I see Wendy from HR approaching. It's on. I'm trapped. It's time for small talk. Am I scared? Of course. This is not your average banter. This is Wisconsin small talk. And I'm facing Wendy herself, the queen of chit-chat. She's in the big leagues. As she approaches with the warmest smile, I start to sweat. This is not amateur hour.
Esteban!
She shouts, eyes sparkling.
I almost didn't make it. I have no idea why I even got out of bed today,
she says, pointing at the blizzard outside. This is why she's a legend. Not even a
hey.
No sign of a
oh, how are you?
The worst thing about Wisconsin's winter is not that it sucks. It does. It's that you're forced to talk about it. A lot. But I don't even flinch. I've been training. Big smile, hands on hips, strong eye contact. The only thing that got me out of bed, I say, skipping a beat for maximum effect, was coffee. She bursts into laughter. Oh, how we chuckle and howl. Maybe Wendy from HR has finally met her match. When I arrived in Madison 6 years ago, I was unprepared. When animals meet, they growl, display their plumage, or sniff butts. Small talk in Wisconsin seemed like a similar show of dominance, and I wanted no part of it. As an immigrant from South America, I tried hard to avoid it, arriving late to all meetings, speaking Espanol to my Uber driver, or keeping it under 12 items so I could use the self-checkout machine at the grocery store. As Wendy and I move slowly down the hall, I feel like I'm doing great. She talks about the unpredictability of March, I mention Al Gore, and we share a moment of silence for the polar bears.
Aww.
I wonder to myself why Wisconsinites are so keen on this. There's no need for small talk where I'm from. Quito, Ecuador is a pretty big cosmopolitan city where we kiss hello with strangers, quickly compliment each other, and go on our way. Our social connections involve salsa music, Catholicism, and all those germs from smooching strangers. When Wendy and I reach the end of the hallway, I realize we're going in opposite directions, but we linger. Too much is on the line, and I will not go gently into that.
Have a good day!
But I must confess, compared to the frozen gray outside, Wendy's casual banter is making me feel warm inside, and I start to understand. I imagine early settlers who, after setting up and getting comfortable during the Wisconsin summer, endured their first winter weather. What stopped them from packing up and heading south? Maybe someone rolled their eyes mid-blizzard and joked, "Nice day out there, huh?" And the extended chatter that followed lasted until it was time to collect berries, split logs, go fishing, and run from bears or whatever. Wendy helped me understand that. Sure, the weather sucks, but that's a small price to pay for the ability to connect with your neighbors about how much it sucks. As far as who won our small talk showdown, neither of us gave it up. So after 42 minutes and 2 follow-up emails, we decided we are getting married! We're looking at dates for next summer, or as we here in Wisconsin like to call it, road construction season.
Esteban Tuma is a comedian in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state? Send us your ideas to mornings@wpr.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.